And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 156, spotlight on DC Comics, New 52, Future's End, number 8, and on to, I don't know how far we're going to get, so we're just going to jump in. I'm Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard, and neither one of us is Murray Fox.
No, Murray is on another secret hunting and pelting mission for the Canadian government. We hope he is safe and doesn't get any bad rope burns or anything.
Ooh, ouch!
I don't know where that came from. It just popped up. Yeah,
rope burns.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Anyway, I apologize. Anyway,
is that a Canadian joke?
No, it just popped out of my mouth. I don't have any idea where it came from.
That's quite a class reunion you're having there, Chris.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little still recovering. We had a very small amount of people that came for my 25th high school reunion. Tied one on Friday night and last night, and I'm definitely feeling it. I don't hurt. Thankfully, but I am a little on the groggy side, so please excuse me if I say something inappropriate, just like I just did.
Like, poker. My wife has a theory about class reunions lately, that it was such a big deal, 25th, 20th, all those, years ago. If you go back, like, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. everyone was like, oh, I'm going to my 20th high school reunion, or 25th, and you just said, it was... No, not a lot of people were your 25th.
Well, yeah. My high school class was the largest graduating class in my high school's history. It was like 270-some-odd people. And the 20th we had, there was a lot of freaking people. I mean, I would say at least it was real close to the 200. I mean, it was a huge picture. Well, this year they had everybody sign up, want to sign up, and they didn't even have enough people sign up to rent out the stuff that we wanted to rent out. So it's like we just kind of like hung out in a little part of a bar, and it was less than 20 people Friday night and maybe 25, 30 last night out of, all those people. So
Mel's theory is it's Facebook's fault.
Yeah, I can see that because there's like 150 something in the Facebook group that but everybody, a lot of people keep contact that way, and and I got the impression that a lot of the clicky people that was there last night, they still keep in contact all the time because they're like So anyway, and a lot of them still live around here, so.
Yeah, and where's the need to catch up if you're already caught up?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm
glad I went because I saw my oldest friend I've known since fourth grade, and he said that was the only reason he came was to see me. So I mean, he lives in Tulsa, so that's like 2 hours from here.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've always kept in touch, and he's a good guy. And even though he partakes of the chemical substances more than I care for, but hey, that's his life, so.
Yeah, I have a friend like that who I see about once every 10 years, and it's like, geez, okay, man.
Once again, he's got this incredibly gorgeous girlfriend, and I guess they met when she was 15, and I won't give any more details than that. But yeah, she, oh my God, I could barely keep my eyes off of her.
Okay.
It's getting a little warm in here. Okay. Anyway, let's get on to this. As we were talking about at the start, we'll be going over the weekly series, New 52 Futures In. Last time we covered 2 through 7. That was episode 150. And we're going to do it a little differently. Last time we did it in storyline mode, where we picked a character and followed it all through a bunch of issues. We're just going to go issue to issue this time. All right. So, start off, the cover of Futures End number 8. You got some kind of robot looking thing it's humanoid, but its skin is see-through so you can see all the parts. And I didn't recognize the design. I don't know, what do you think?
I have no clue.
Yeah, and I think we get a look, after reading, looking through it again, I might have an idea, but we'll get to that. So I'll start on this one. We can take turns. We can take turns.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, so here we are. 5 years from now, Cadmus Island. You got Deathstroke, and which I believe is this version's of King Faraday.
Mm-hmm.
They're chatting back and forth about Grifter and 50 Sue, which I think is one of the... I hate that character. She is a mean old little brat with way too much power. But basically,
she's like that character in Justice League 3000.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I forget the character's name, but yeah.
I forget her as well. I forget her name as well, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, she's, yeah, mean, spiteful. Anyway.
And like those tutus.
Yeah, she's very, very adamant about being his Deathstroke sidekick, to the fact that she's threatened bodily harm to anybody that tries to take her place, or flailing, or whatever. But anyway... they're talking, the two of them, Faraday and Deathstroke, they're talking about Grifter and his abilities. And, that's, you know, they're going, whether he could be used or not, and if not, we'll just kill him, so on and so forth.
Nice.
Which, you know, hey, that's what these guys are like. And then you see, Grifter and the little brat 50 Sue talking, and we get an instance of that, you know, how powerful she is, and he says, you know, hey, thanks for reminding me why I don't have kids, and then her eyes glow, and she basically, with some kind of power, either throws or teleports him to the other side of the island where he bounces into the water, and then Omac shows up, is going to kick his butt, and just about as Omac is about to punch him in the face, I guess she just teleports him back. And just says, hey, you know, don't be surprised. I really wanted to hurt you, and I've peeled your skin off before you hit the water, salt, and like that, you know? So, yeah, that's, she's a brat.
I like the signage there where it points you, okay, this way to solitary.
Yeah, I know. I saw that, and one of them says special needs. I noticed that just this time looking at it. And, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Village Square, Docks, Medical Center.
But anyway. No, we have Ghirardelli Square.
Yeah. And, so yeah, this is where she's threatening him. She's like, yes, I'm his sidekick. Nobody asked for you, and no one will miss you when you're gone if you catch my drift. Okay, whatever. And then we go move along to Fastlane offices, and Lois is telling one of her minions that we've got to get to these coordinates that I was sent in the secret box, and he's saying that's in the middle of the Indian Ocean, west of Australia, nothing but water sharks. And she's telling him, hey, you know, get a plane. And he says, well, we don't have the cash for that. If you go Amelia Earhart on us, then we're done. And he says, she's like, well, that's why we need a story, and book the plane. So there you go. He's got to book the plane. Oof, off to Columbia University, and we are talking to, see, I can never remember his name, the one of the halves of Firestorm.
Jason Roush,
okay. I thought that was wrong, but anyway, him and his professor buddy are working on a teleportation device.
Kamazaki,
yeah, he puts his plate commemorating his marriage to his wife, which is apparently had passed away, and I would assume she passed away in the disaster, because this
war.
Is,
yeah.
War, yeah, that he's motivation for doing this in the first place, which I'm not really sure how much teleportation would really help people, but, you know, he seems to, I think I read something what he said, and it seemed to make some sense, but So they do an experiment, and it something flakes, and it blows the shit up. And as soon as that happens, he's like tries to blame Rush, and it he's like, you know, I gotta go think and blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden, the masked Superman shows up. Quickly. And you kind of get a look at his costume a little bit, and it just hit me that not only does he have a mask, but he has no cape. And
his underwear's on the inside.
Yeah. And his speech is definitely not Superman-like. It's very, you know, he's very, quick and almost barely, in some cases, one-word sentences. But he's telling, he's like, what are you doing here? And he says, I can say the same to you. And this was kind of, very muscle, kind of mobbish feel to it, where he's like, Firestorm has missed the league's last two meetings, wanting to know. He's like, where the hell have you been? And the kid says, well,
bitch.
Yeah. There's no Firestorm, not anymore, Rush says. And he just says, explain. It's not very Superman-like. And then a couple was that one of those issues we were talking before where Faraday was there and he said, Lois's hands off. And he's like, picked him up and all that crap. And that's not usually his style. That's more Batman style, actually.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Well... we haven't seen our Batman yet.
Right.
And this Superman is wearing a mask. So, anyway, that could be the Earth 2. That could be the Earth 2 Superman, the black kid, and that's why he's wearing a mask. Anyway. So they're talking. And he says, the two people sharing one body shouldn't have worked as long as it did. It's over. I've moved on. And then Superman says, I've moved on. He says, to build a transporter. Looks a lot like ours. He doesn't say, are you using JLL tech? He's like, using JLA tech? It sounds almost like a robot. I just find his speech patterns a little odd. And then he's like, what? No, I would never. You should know that. See, it's not normal speech. And then he just says, of course. And it failed anyway, not sure why. Some kind of power surge. And he says, well, that's too bad. Instead of saying that's too bad, he says, too bad. And have you ever asked yourself if this is a good thing? The downside might dwarf the upside. It just, very weird speech patterns to me. Is that just me or?
It's a little stilted, but
yeah.
It just might be whoever's scripting this issue.
Yeah, well, it just seemed that, because it's so much different than Jason's, it just kind of seems to, seems different. And then he's like, wait, you didn't do anything. And then he just says, fix your problem with Raymond. Firestorm is needed. And then he's like, no, never again. So I don't know. It just seemed kind of, it's like, you're going to be Firestorm. That's very not Superman-like at all. So then we shift out into deep space, where we see, Ray Palmer in the Atom outfit with a beard. I even noticed there was the mask in one of the issues I looked at, it was just not over his head. So that's kind of interesting. He might have been the Atom for a while during the war. So they're trying to figure out what happened to Stormwatch. And they have got some bodies together. They're getting bodies out of the floating in space. And, I didn't even realize it, but there's a return of thought balloons. Ray Palmer's actually thinking, and there's thought balloons there.
Is this the first? I guess. I don't know. It feels
I haven't seen thought balloons in a long time. Not that I can remember. So anyway, So he's thinking. Added a second mystery to the mission. One that perhaps just disturbing to me is the mystery of what was powerful enough to destroy the team. Apollo and the engineer know where to be found, which I believe they show up later. The engineer does, I think. But like any man of science, I can do the best clues. Begin an autopsy. So one of the things he borrows Amethyst's sword and hacks off Hawkman's arm.
I know, for goodness sake.
Because, you know, Frankenstein lost one. Black Adam yanked it off as he was being sucked into the portal out of the Phantom Zone. And,
You're not using this. So.
Yeah, you know, and it looks like the best fit. So we'll just attach this here, you know? Pieces or parts, right? Still going. I thought the recording kicked off, but it is still running. Okay.
Okay, thank goodness.
Alright, and it's like, oh! And he just cuts his arm off, and, you know, because they can just attach it, and it'll just grow. So that's like, you know, we switch. So now we're in Southeast Asia somewhere. And, they're doing some kind of military thing. Come in Ho is the guy's name. He's not responding. And they're looking at it, and some of this was all forced, and the war had wrecked everything. And, ourselves, Earth One. Oh, anyway, so they talked, and we never called ourselves Earth One, but they called it Earth Two, so anyway. So, some kind of expedition going on, and this is where I kind of think where I figured this out a little bit.
Figured what out?
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh.
The robot on the cover.
Ah.
So, they're trying to talk to somebody inside. Apparently, they're, you know, it's one of them Indiana Jones it's like the old stuff dig. I can't talk today. And there's some kind of temple, and you see gold stuff, and there's bones, and just stacks and stacks of skulls and bones all over the place. And then at the last panel on whatever page we're on, and he says, there's a temple and a god. Well, it's more clear in another picture, but you see a skull, and there's two eyes, and another dot-looking thing on the forehead, and they're connected to three sides of a triangle. Well, you turn the page, and on the very top one, you got two dots where the point is down. Well, when I see that, the first thing I think of is Brainiac.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then you see a thing, and the guy that he's trying to talk to, he's all beat up, he's dying, and you see severed heads, and, you know, people have been impaled on objects, and everybody's obviously dead. And I don't know, if you look close on some of those hieroglyphics on the second panel, in towards the middle, it looks like something like a robot sitting there in there, and you see the Brainiac symbol again, and you know, it's like going on, this is, he's trying to tell him, hey, you know, they want to go help, and he's like, no, stay away, you don't understand, I'm trying to keep you from something. And that's when the robot jumps up out of the jungle and starts massacring them, and it's very quickly, and if it doesn't just do it quick, you know, just snaps your necks and does it easy. The second guy, he actually uses his thumbs and punches the guy's eyeballs in and pops his brain that way. And you can see the electronic eyes looking through. It doesn't say a word. It just, like, kills him. And then, boom, we go to New Orleans. John Constantine, or excuse me, Constantine, and somebody named Midge, no idea who that is, that he's obviously, you know, sleeping around with, but she was dreaming in Chinese, he said, and she was at Laotian, which I think she saw what was going on with the robot. And she says, the end is coming. And he goes, I know, and we might need help this time staving it off, which is very unlike Constantine, you know, because he's usually pretty cocky. So I thought that was interesting. And boom, we're done. And then they show stuff for next issue, but we don't need to go into that because we're going to see that.
We're going to do that in just a moment.
All right. We take a break, a little break to get a little drink. And if you would like, you may take this one.
Just a second, may I to get to it?
All right. No problem.
Come on, computer. Computer. Come on, computer. All right. Here we go. Number nine. Oh! DC, Brian Azzarello, Keith Giffen, Dan Juergens, Jeff Lemire, Patrick Zurcher on art.
I apologize for not doing that on the last one.
That's cool. This is Futures End. The new 52 Futures End.
Exactly.
Number nine. And we have a cover that shows... what's her name? Not Rampage. What the hell is her name?
Yeah, that's her name, Rampage, if I'm not mistaken.
Rampage decking the new 52, the Futures End Superman. It's actually a really cool cover. It's kind of, it almost looks painted.
Yeah, it does. It's a Ryan Sook cover, I believe.
Well, then that's why it's so cool.
Yes, it is quite good, I must say.
I'm trying to read this sign here. The power or something behind...
Oh, yeah, that's for that U-Sphere.
U-Sphere, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Which is a Mr. Terrific invention. Blah, 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 can't talk.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so we are still 5 years from now. I like that it's... They're smart enough not to put any dates on this thing. They're just saying 5 years from now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
They're not idiots. And as the Lois Lane's sidekick did note, they are now over the Indian Ocean, flying in a private jet. And someone saying, "Run those coordinates by me again, Ms. Lane. 40 degrees south, 38 minutes, 16 seconds by 105 degrees east, 20 minutes, 10 seconds, 3 blocks over to the left, 1 block..."
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Forever be in the lexicon of comic book geeks. 1 block over, 3 block, whatever.
God.
So Lois Lane is trying to locate those coordinates, and she's flying over the ocean with this guy, and they don't see anything, but as they turn to fly away, an island is mysteriously there.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yes.
And
hear the theme from Lost playing in the background.
That's right. And we're now on Cadmus Island, which was the invisible island that we...
You think that's the same? Oh, yeah, because you can see...
In the
window. I'd missed that before. I thought that's what it was, but I wasn't 100% sure. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so a nice plotting point where we see...
Very good.
...the plane up there, and the artist taking a second to acknowledge that. And we have the three main badasses on Cadmus Island talking, Grifter, 50 Sue, and Slade.
Mm-hmm.
Stop getting angry. You won't keep getting dumped in the ocean. Words.
He's all wet. I didn't notice that before. He's got water coming off him, and there's puddles by his feet.
The implication being that he has once again been tossed into the water by 50 Sue.
Mm-hmm. 50 Sue. God.
And she's telling him, when do I find out what I'm expected to do now that I'm here? Kill yourself? Whatever I tell you to do, Mr. Cash, unless you've been told different. I haven't been told anything except don't piss off the girl, which he keeps doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
he admits isn't working all that great.
Yeah. And they're trying to convince Grifter that he's there for a reason, and he's still not convinced. And 50 Sue says, "Slade, Mr. Faraday pays me well, very well, to take care of certain problems. Slade and I, we kill people. Yes, we do, don't we?"
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Embrace the whole of what? Not too slow in the uptake there, Einstein, says 50 Sue. And they're focusing on Grifter's power, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Slade says, "Your power, for lack of a better word, ability, talent, enhancement. You seem to be under the impression that you only see aliens. That's because I only see aliens and doppelgangers, and just recently..." Okay, point taken. Faraday seems convinced that you see deception. Whatever. That given enough time and a bit of effort on your part, you could refine the power and actually be of use. Use? What kind of use? eliminating the guesswork. I know that would make my life easier. Guesswork? Says Grifter.
Yeah, he really isn't. He's either playing dumb or he's not really not very bright.
I think he's playing dumb. Mm-hmm. And they're walking up to an even more highly secure area of Cadmus. And they're telling him, look, you could spot superhumans that we couldn't necessarily, the closeted kind. Great. Mm-hmm. He has his Gadar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has very, very strong Gadar. Was that politically incorrect? I don't know.
A little bit. It's a little bit.
My bad.
Oh, no, I thought you what they said was, but I... Nah, you're fine. We're all good here. There's nobody to ring a bell.
Clang on, clang on, clang on. No, that'd be racist.
Yes, exactly. You're right.
Even though they're all white. So they're saying, look, you could help us find the superhumans, and he's like, I'm not a killer of humans. Then don't. You point, says 50 Sue.
Yeah, she likes to do that.
So basically they want to use him, as he puts it, as a bloodhound. Mm-hmm. To track down superhumans so they can put a bullet in their head.
Mm-hmm. And then we have
what is, bar none, the coolest two-page spread they've had in this whole series.
Oh, absolutely.
We see all of the Earth 2 heroes in cages. And that includes, we've got Dr. Fate up there.
They aren't in costumes, though, so I wonder if they're just normal people.
They might be.
Go ahead.
Hey, we got Mr. Miracle. We have somebody. We have Hot Girl. Somebody else.
The girl down at the bottom. That was Wonder Woman's daughter, I think. Wasn't she raised by Apocalypse on the very bottom? The big chick.
We have Power Girl and Aqua Woman.
Yes.
As you noted, there are a couple of uncostumed people. Mm-hmm. But I presume we're supposed to know who they are. But
I don't think it's hard to tell.
And the halls are being patrolled by Omax.
Yeah.
And these poor people, they have to... They actually show toilets here. Look at that. Interesting.
Yeah, they do. Interesting. Some are in costumes and some aren't.
A very noticeable absence here is Huntress.
Yeah.
Power Girl, but not Huntress.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, we're just seeing a section. We're not seeing everybody.
No, you're absolutely right. There's a whole... And basically what they do, they've captured a bunch of the Earth 2 heroes. And presumably there's no Earth 2 supervillains. I don't know. They just say that they're capturing Earth 2 superhumans.
Exactly, so that could be either side.
So are you beginning to get the picture? This, it's what you need help for, isn't it? Is there a problem? Choose your next words carefully, Mr. Cash. Cash, they may be your last. And Mr. Cash is my dad, and he's dead. Call me Cole. And 50 Sue and Slade are smirking because they've got him hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
Then we switch scenes to the Maw, M-A-W, the Metropolis Armory Ward.
Interesting. Which is a huge rock on the edge of a waterfall, and inside the rock they have built a prison, apparently.
They have built a prison. Hello, Daddy. It's been a long time. Mad. Oh, Maddie, whatever, Matt. Thanks for coming. Your mother couldn't make it? She's so strung out on her prescriptions that she can't leave the house, Daddy. She has you to thank for that. You don't need to guilt trip me, Madison. I'm in the world's crappiest prison, isn't that enough? Why are you here? I thought you never wanted to see me again. You asked about the days when you conspired with the enemy. Oh, this is the chick that was...
That's the one that's connected to Tim Drake, yeah. Or whatever he's calling himself, which I read on a website that his last name is Irish for crimson.
are cute.
Yes, I thought so.
And then all of a sudden we get a big yellow fist crashing through the unbreakable glass, and time to go. And it is Rampage. She's all, "You're coming with me, Ethan." Hey, by the way, did go back, real step back a second. Her mm-hmm. dad, Madison's dad, was accused of war crimes and selling munitions to the bad guys during the
well, the Earth 2 at least. Anyway, I don't what we would consider bad guys, I guess. But yeah, you're right.
And she is grabbing some other guy, some younger guy with glasses.
Yeah, if you look at that first panel when they're first talking, there's somebody sitting on the right side of them, and she must have hulked up and then did that, because I think they're like right on the right of them is where that happens.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And she, for some reason, has chains all over her, and he is being escaped by this yep. guy, by this Rampage. Who, for some reason, her clothes rip conveniently to just cover up the naughty part.
Of course.
And they're purple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny that way, isn't it?
Anybody who hulks out has to wear purple.
Yes, that is a rule in the superhero rule book.
I think it's written down somewhere, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Page 247, paragraph 3, I believe it is.
I think it's a paragraph, actually.
Yes, you're correct. That's right.
Something under colors.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that she's breaking out of the prison, he's pretty calm about it. He's like, meh.
Yeah, now, I think they kind of made a mistake of having both her, that chick's dad, and the kid have glasses, because it was a little confusing at first when I first read it. Because, like, oh, she's breaking that guy out. But then if you look that last panel, the two last two panels down at the bottom, you can tell the difference better.
Yeah, well, the one's got receding hairline and round glasses. Yeah. The other one has spiky hair. Somehow exactly. he has product in prison.
Of course.
And he's got the rectangular lenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easier at that point. But.
And in comes super masked guy, Superman, and the other guy's like, Mr. Buzzkill. He's very calm. He's not... The guy, you know, doesn't.
Yeah, he's probably a punk hacker or something. Anyway, continue.
And so the punk guy is convincing Rampage that that she needs to have something to distract Superman with. So Rampage grabs Madison and tosses her out the window towards.
Nice.
Tosses her up through the ceiling and up. And so Superman, being Superman, has to go rescue Madison, mm-hmm. and he's asking, why would she want, what would she want with a sicko like Ethan Boyer,
mm.
guy she's breaking out of prison, and, hey, you know what, look at the side of the... And maybe I'm seeing something that's not really there.
Mm.
But when they show the exterior of the prison, when Madison's flying up, she's all, "Help me!" And they show the exterior, the window area looks like Superman's chest plate.
Yep, I was just thinking that.
It's kind of Kryptonian, the whole.
Yeah, well, it might be his technology to help build it.
So, you know,
which might explain why he was there so quick.
And now we're back in New York City at Terrifitech, and Mr. Yeah. Terrific is having a conversation with Brother Eye.
Yeah, and it did call him Michael, too.
Hello, Michael. Don't touch that, Michael. Daisy. Sorry. So anyhow, Michael, you seem troubled. Are you seem troubled, Michael? Well, faced with the unknown, troubled is a common human response, but that's not what I am. I'm fascinated. He's looking at the OMAC'd body of Plastic Heat, which was recovered from which it's gotten much larger. That it somehow it fit in a shopping cart.
Yeah, which I think it was very stupid on Terry's part to carry that damn thing around with him.
Yes, but how did he fit? Look at this—the size of it.
I know. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway,
he's absolutely unequivocally fascinated. Whoever built this cyborg is using technology that I've only dreamed of. Is that the unknown you speak of? No, you misunderstand. By dreamed, I mean hypothesized. This is biotech that I have actually theorized as possible. So
now, which we've got a Terminator 2 thing here.
With Dyson, it's kind of the Dyson moment.
Yeah, exactly. Where he's the one, they went back to kill him, and they end up leaving parts that they end up keeping, you know, from the first, they got from the first movie, which gives him the idea to do it in the first place. So it's like a chicken before the egg kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that damn time paradox thing.
Yeah, which Terry might have actually given this guy the means to do what he went back to stop. I know, it makes your head hurt, doesn't it?
It kind of does, though. That might just be your hangover. And Brother Eye is saying, are you sure it's not something from the doppelganger Earth? And he's unlikely. Spending time there, I would have come across something like this. What about... And Michael, I can't help you. I'm in contact with you only to observe. So, basically, he's saying, look, I will be here. I will talk to you, but I'm not actually going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think it's quite... It's somewhat intelligent, but not as far.
That ain't kosher, man.
And we confirm here that, in fact... that he is the smartest man on Earth now. He must have
been. Before he used to be the third, mm-hmm. Now he's the...
Well, maybe the other two got killed in the war.
Well, he says, on your world.
Oh.
Are the smartest...
That's men. Right, on your world, yeah, exactly.
And we have Terry McGinnis outside the Wounded Duck, which is Tim Drake or whatever he's calling himself.
Yeah.
Bar, which... mysteriously is much smaller on the outside than it is on the inside.
Yes, exactly.
At least as in this...
Now, have you noticed that Bruce Wayne Batman has not shown up once in this? So at least so far. I'm pretty sure he hasn't shown up at all in here. We've got the Masked Superman. Nobody's talked about him. Now, except for, wait, I take that back. When they first showed the Terry McGinnis Batman on the big screen, Tim was talking about Bruce and, you know, another person for his meat grinder. So maybe he is still alive, but I don't think he's actually Batman anymore. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
No.
We haven't seen him, at least.
Well, to this point, we haven't seen any of... I mean, I think we've seen Cyborg, but we haven't seen any of the rest of the Justice League.
No, that's a good point, yeah.
We haven't seen Aquaman or Green Lantern or...
You know, you saw Aquaman was at...
the funeral.
That's right.
You're right. I forgot about Green Arrow's funeral.
Yeah, he made a comment to Michael about making a big entrance at the funeral.
So Terry McGinnis is now a blonde man. And not Asian any longer. Wasn't he Asian in the cartoon, part Asian?
No.
No?
No.
I thought he was. Oh.
You.
Oh, my bad. For some reason I thought he was a little Asian. Okay. And
his girlfriend was.
So Terry McGinnis is talking with ALFRED, Alfred, mm-hmm. And they're having their little snarky tete-a-tete. And he uses the technology to change his uniform into street clothes and, again, make himself a blonde guy. And he goes down into the bar to meet with the tattooed man, Plastique, and the Key.
That's not the tattooed man. His name is Coil.
You're right.
the electromagnetic guy, which I never heard of him before. So I think somewhere in between now and 5 years later was when he shows up. So I read Plastique's going to be on the Flash new show.
Yes, she is. See, our goal in returning to the past was to stop Brother Eye from being created, thereby diverting the future we've traveled from. However, we've arrived too late. This is a plot summarization that was unnecessary for the character, by the way.
Yep.
Or would that be not late enough?
Yep.
Asked to avert that creation. According to the data I have accessed, Brother Eye was disabled in the Earth 2 war. And we're inside the bar, and Tim Drake is cleaning glasses, and Coyle is drinking coffee, and in walk Plastique and McKee. And Plastique is eyeing herself in the mirror because she's freaked out having seen the Plastique OMAC from the
which would unnerve anyone, I would think.
Yeah. And down drops Terry McGinnis. Our future is proof the satellite gets reactivated. We need to prevent that occurrence. And he admits that he needs some terrific tech. He walks into the wounded duck. And he decides he needs a team. And that would be, again, Coyle plus Deacon. I like that team up, by the way. And
it is interesting.
We are now at the far edges of the universe. And the destroyed carrier of the of Stormwatch. Is that the carrier, or was that their ship? No, it was the carrier.
Yeah, the carrier.
And Ray Palmer is attaching Hawkman's arm to Frankenstein. And he's attempting nanosurgery to attach this cybernetic coupling to the existing nerve ending in Frankenstein's shoulder. Agent Amethyst, hold on.
Bless you.
Wait. And Frankenstein says, be quick about it, Palmer. I find this whole affair somewhat lurid. And we pull back and we see the corpse of Hawkman without an arm.
I almost thought this was a Geoff Johns book.
That's right. Now, why is he... I don't... You know, this is one thing I never said. When they show the dead bodies of a hero, why the mask on, especially in the middle part?
I don't know.
Anyhow. And then we get Ray Palmer, who's going to be played by Superman in the TV show, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Brendan Rauch, yeah.
Is it going to be on The Flash, or is it going to be on Arrow? I don't know.
It is going to be on The Flash, I think. They've seemed to keep the superpower people out of there.
Of Arrow?
Okay. Yeah.
And Hawkman wakes up.
Have you seen the pilot?
Yes.
Yeah, so they got that whole Smallville Freak of the Week thing going on, so that's where all the superpower people will be.
Oh, good. And Hawkman wakes up and says, what the hell are they doing to my arm?
That I did not see coming.
He's a zombie! Ah! And stop right there and let go of Dr. Palmer, Hawkman. I do not wish to remove your head as well, says Frankenstein. And Amethyst and Frankenstein have their swords drawn. And Frankenstein, now this is a terrible misunderstanding. Misunderstanding? You're damn right it is. That's my arm. He's looking at Frankenstein wearing his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And Palmer's, I thought you were dead. Speaking of which, why the hell aren't you dead? Asks Amethyst. I told you. Space zombie, says Palmer. So whoever wrote this particular section, kudos.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good dialogue.
I don't know how they're breaking it up, but if someone else wrote this particular part, give them a raise. Sigh, I'm not a damn zombie, Palmer. The nth metal in my blood fused to me. It does amazing things. I don't even know if I can die. So we're back to the Venom version of nth metal.
Yep.
That first issue of Savage Hawkman from 2.5 years ago. Almost 3 years ago. Jesus.
Yes, I know. We're going to have to do a catch-up here soon.
Wow.
I need to make some notes for it.
And I want to talk to you about that after the show.
Yes.
actually had a thought. So.
Oh well, all right then. We can do that.
Don't get used to thoughts going through my head. And Palmer's all nth metal. Long story, Palmer. What the hell are you three doing here anyway? The last thing I remember, I was. No, and he looks around and he sees the dead bodies of Jack Hawksmoor, Midnighter, and the underwater chick who dated Frankenstein. We don't see Apollo or the engineer. Neither one of them are there.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two that are missing.
Yep. And we saw Apollo get zappified, but that's hard to believe from the...
Yeah, and he's saying he was incinerated, but yeah. Until you see, if he was incinerated, I guess the term, if you don't see a body, doesn't mean much, does it?
Yeah, but they incinerated Batman in Final Crisis.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. The carrier was somehow pulled out of the bleed. The computer system went nuts, turned the ship's defenses against us. Apollo went out after it and incinerated him. But Apollo was as powerful as Superman, says Palmer. What the hell could have done that to him? I wish I knew, said Talkman. But what worries me now is whatever it was, it's still out there somewhere. And we're back on Earth. Shade's microscopic mobile headquarters, current location 56 miles above the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, and two blocks over and one block to the left.
Yes.
And we see that Father Time and her crew are watching all of this going on on the carrier out in deep space.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy with Eraserhead hair says, are you sure Agent Amethyst and her team have no idea we're monitoring their actions out in their deep space? Father Time, and he says, none. I took precautions. As far as they know, they are out of range of any possible contact with Shade. We can see them, but they can't see us. Dr. Belroy, of course. It's better that way for now. Anyway, they still seem to have no idea what they are really up against out there, do they? You know what would be really helpful? If you told them.
Yeah, no shit.
If you really want to stop it, tell them. If they had any clue, if anyone on Earth had any clue what was really coming, that's just Frankenstein and his team can neutralize it before that ever happens. So it goes from being Amethyst's team to Frankenstein's team, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they can't... See, they should just tell
them. Yeah, well, you know how that... those shadow things are.
I get it. I've read enough comic books. If they can't...
It's on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah, and you don't need to know.
And then you don't need to know. Yeah, I love
of
that.
Of everything. Dun, dun, dun. To be continued. And we have a... I like what they're doing here where they show the little panels from the future issue.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
We see once again Grifter flying through the air... what is clearly Big Barda serving food.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other super tall women in the DC universe.
Yep. I haven't seen anything of Wonder Woman either.
And then we have what appear to be the people breaking into Terrific Attack on that one panel. So.
Mm-hmm.
And this was again, Brian Azzarello, Jeff Lemire, Dan Jurgens, and Keith Giffen wrote this thing. Patrick Zurcher drew it. Hi-Fi, the guys from Hi-Fi, the guys and gals from Hi-Fi colored it. Taylor Esposito lettered it. And as you noted, Brian Sook did the awesome cover. And Joey Cavalieri. I didn't know Joey Cavalieri. I didn't notice that was the editor on this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, good deal.
And, of course, the obligatory Superman, created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster by special arrangement from the Jerry Siegel family.
All right.
And then we have a preview of Suicide Squad number one. Or, excuse me, new Suicide Squad number one.
What did you think of that?
Suicide Squad? I don't know why they had to reboot it with the number one.
Marvel and DC are stealing shit from each other. That's what Marvel did. They just got through doing that and putting number ones on things that weren't really number ones. Well, so why not?
Marvel did it smarter, though, because all of their titles are all new. So they start with A. So if you're looking at a shelving unit, where are all those titles going to be?
I don't remember reading this one.
They're all going to be at the front of the rack with the A's, and they're all going to be together. So I think DC using new, at least it's going to group all their titles together under N, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now...
Yeah, we're at that hour, so...
Do we want to move on to 10, or do we want to step back and absorb what we've learned at this point?
I think we should step back, because I'm looking at number 10, and I don't remember it. I might not have read it.
You might not have read it?
You never know. I sleep every once in a while, so...
It's okay. I didn't actually remember parts of number 8, and that's only a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, too much alcohol.
Well, yeah, and it's like you never really know. Some of it you didn't. It's like, eh, and you kind of just space it and then focus on something else, and you go back, oh, well, maybe that was important.
Well, the nice thing about this series, like we said, it's a week-to-week thing, so they're, you know, you. Yes, granted, some of the stuff from 6 weeks ago may have already faded into memory, but
yeah. They
are moving it forward at a nice clip.
Yeah, they are. I think they're doing the pacing pretty well. Unlike the Batman Eternal book, oh my god, it is... They've got multiple storylines, but they're not doing like this one and having bits and pieces of it in each issue. It's like you read one and it's like the next issue is this other storyline, and the majority of the book is that storyline, and it's really hard to keep track of. I'm having a hard time with it.
I blinked at some point while reading that, and I
yeah.
Where the hell did Jim Corrigan come from?
I know, that's what I don't get. The whole, I remember seeing Batwing before that, but all of a sudden we're in some demonized Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
It's just poorly executed.
It's not being edited well. The dialogue's been good. I like how they're writing
some
of the characters, but I want them to get back to focusing on Gordon. I want them to get back to focusing on, the Jim Gordon story. I mean, that should be front and center.
I would think so.
Of that series.
I would think so. But, you know, like I said, in the last time we talked about Futures End, you know, it is a 52-week series, so it's not anywhere near as tight as this book is, Futures End.
No.
So, anyway, maybe it'll get better.
And we still have that other series supposed to start, is it in October?
Yes, Earth 2 World's End, I think, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which we assume will be the actual Earth 2 war, which I believe they've hinted at that other Earth 2 is like gone, and that's why all of them are over here.
Yes.
So it should be interesting.
Now Levitz was supposed to be working on that, but I think he's not.
Yes, he did. Actually, he either stepped away or they decided to, you know, not go with it, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, well, whatever. It's he's going off to do other stuff. Looks like he's going to go work for Boom at this point, so.
Mm-hmm. Which, hey, you know.
I would love the backstory on why he ever stepped down as executive editor or whatever it was he was, and went to being a creator instead. Because bad timing if that was his choice.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyhow, Futures End is up to number 13 at this point, so we have plenty of story to catch up on, and it's good. I mean, I was concerned. I was, again, we said this before. I was worried we were going to have another countdown, but
mm-hmm.
this is exceeding, at least at this point, it's exceeding even 52.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For me.
Yeah. I think so.
And I think part of that is because it's not set now, so they can do whatever they want with these characters, and they can use whatever characters. And not, you know, again, 52 did focus on some B-level characters, but I think this is better. so far. Is that sacrilege?
No. I think maybe the writing is just, and 52 is just a touch better, but I have read the entire thing. Both of us have. We're only 13 issues in at this point, sure. So, but I think, I don't know, it's got a different vibe to it. I like it though. I wouldn't call it better than 52 yet, but it is at least leaps and bounds better than Countdown. So that's a plus.
It's 25% over.
Yeah, I guess it is farther along than I thought.
Now, I know Giffen was on 52. Was Dan Jurgens on 52? I don't remember.
He might have been. It was Johns, I think Greg Rucka. I'm not positive. Was Morrison in on that? Yeah, I guess he was. And then Mark Waid.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, I think so too. I've got a.
So I guess Jurgens was not on it.
I don't think he was. I've got the first trade. I need to get the rest. I missed the omnibus, and its cost is quite large on eBay.
Well, you can go get the Doom Patrol. On the bus, which looks like a house.
Yeah, I was gonna get the second JSA one, but just can't afford it right now.
They're huge.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that's really huge. You're right.
Kill a man with those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first JSA one was 1,125 pages, man. It's like, you know, it's massive. All right, let's wrap this sucker up.
And for those who haven't seen it, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I probably won't get to do that till next weekend, but.
Oh my, I'm so sorry.
Well, who knows? I might sneak it in, but I would have done it this weekend, but had the high school reunion thing going on and a few people I wanted to see.
Go put some pants on and go right now.
I might do that. I don't know. I got a lot of stuff to do.
It's 2 hours and 10 minutes of your life.
Well, you see, there's a friend of mine that just has to, I have to see it with, quote unquote, that a, you know, friend, female friend of mine, and she would be very upset if I went to see it without her, so.
Chicks and superhero movies, come on.
I know. And I've got a text from her right there. What do you know?
It's crazy talk.
Yeah, I know, it is. But I might sneak and see it and not say anything. Who knows?
You're like, oh, that is a unexpected moment in the movie.
Well,
that
I've already made it well known that I've read a lot of the books that a lot of the stuff's based on. So I'm not sure how many surprises I'm going to see. So anyway. But anyway.
All right. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I've been really looking forward to it though, so there's very, very large possibility I might sneak and see that sometime. Anyway, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com, or you can join us on the Facebook page. We added a couple members just the other day that I had no idea who they were. Which
I don't know who these people are.
You didn't know who they were either?
I don't.
Was it two or three we added?
Three.
Yeah, it's like, cool. So, yeah. Good to see you. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you on aboard and, you know, join the conversation there. Or you can comment on the actual episodes themselves and let us know what you think. And for the love of God, iTunes people, if you're out there.
Does iTunes still exist?
Yeah, as far as I know, you don't even have to give us a review. Just say yo or something. I don't have iTunes installed anywhere, so I don't even know if we're getting any traffic, what traffic we got there, but people are downloading and listening on the actual website, so there's people that do that. I can track that a little bit. So anyway, yeah, let us know what you think. And I believe that is it for this week.
Okay.
You got anything? Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And we're out.